kind of expository. We go through scriptures and preach those. Colossians 1, John 1, Ephesians 1, and a couple others. And I may not even get that far. As I look, I've got a lot of material today. And so I may try to do some trimming back. But it is just, it is just, we do just meet once a week as far as this is concerned. Thank you. Might just be me and you, but I'm excited about this. I'm taking a title from a long time ago, Is He First? We had our youth group was named Chi Alpha, which meant Christ First. It took the scripture out of Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And I preached that for a while. And it's still true, of course, but that was my title, Is He First? But I'm going to give you some new things around that. It's been many years since I've preached out of this text, but it's so rich and so good. So the question is He first? Is He first? And you've got to kind of examine yourself through this. And I'm going to touch several things, and if I don't finish it this week, we'll finish it next time, hopefully. And so let's just get right into this. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. So this is an epistle that's written to the Colossians that lived in Colossae, or Colossae. And then in this, chapter 2, he mentions something about the Laodicean church. And in chapter 4, when it closes, he mentions the Laodicean church. And he tells the church at Colossae, send this letter to the Laodiceans, make sure they read it, and then you read what I wrote to the Laodiceans. It's neat. What he's saying is that this message is for all the believers, and it needs to circulate as these epistles did. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that. If you read the New Testament, you're going to see that salutation over and over. And it's usually at the beginning and the end of all the epistles. Grace and peace to you. That's how it's introduced. Grace and peace to you. And then at the end, it's saying, oh, yeah, grace and peace to you. It's like saying goodbye, but take this with you. Remember the grace and the peace. But I've got something out of that I want to give you in a few minutes. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, I want you to know, Paul hasn't laid eyes on a lot of these people, and they haven't laid eyes on him either. As far as Paul goes in physical picture, as a physical specimen, he's probably hard to look at. He even describes himself like that. He's little hunchbacked, had problems with his vision. It was hard for him to write. A lot of his writings were dictated down. And then there's times, he said, this one in particular, he said, I wrote this salutation in my own hand. So he had people write for him. But Paul, in one sense, he might have been hard to look at. He might have been hard to look at. I don't want to say he is ugly, but he might have been hard to look at. But Paul, as a small man in stature, could take a pen and straighten the whole people up in writing. So it's not about how you look. It's about what's inside of you coming out of you. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. He says, I'm giving thanks because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. So this hope and this gospel has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. That was translated as growing. What you're getting, it's growing, and it needs to be growing inside of you. Actually, it needs to be producing fruit inside of you. So this isn't just happens one time and you get the license into heaven. There needs to be something that happens to you. And from that point, there's a fruit that comes out of you now that's not like what used to come out of you. Amen. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of God, of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras has got word to them, and he's ministering right here at Colossae, and they're in agreement. And he's saying, Paul, I want you to come see what the Lord has done. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We're going to come back to this. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's qualified us. Thank you, my brother. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That word conveyed right there actually means transferred. I've been transferred. Look at your neighbor and say, you're transfer. If you're believing in Him, you've been transferred from what you were. You're out of the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, which is full of light. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's in essence what I was just so excited about when I was talking to you a second ago. The enemy tries to make me think of what God might have forgot or what God is still hanging on to. I need to say it right. The enemy wants me to think that God's still hanging on to this little thing when the truth is His redemptive power forgave every bit of it. Every bit of it. Otherwise, sin would be stronger than the blood, right? We know that's not the truth. So don't let the enemy deceive you. Verse 15, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So in these days, they believed in God, and they actually believed in a Messiah. They just didn't think Jesus was Him. Okay? And this scripture is saying that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. 16, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Simply meaning this, He's first. He's first of everything. He's first, preeminent. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. Can you say thank you for that, Lord? Reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So he's saying all these things, and they're speaking to our identity, and they're raising us up, and they're helping us. But don't miss what he just said. He said all this, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, there's this little word called responsibility, and it's on you. And it's on us not to be carried away, even by His blessing. Even by His blessing. That's why I'm calling this, is He first? Is He first? Sorry. Been at the beach. My nose a little runny. So, is He first? Let me just say this. We believe that he's the one who blesses us, and we believe that all blessings come from Him, right? Be careful that He doesn't bless you so much that the blessing He gave you takes you away from Him. Is He first? I'm going to keep coming back to that. Is He first? He is first. Let me answer that. He is first, but in your life. Is He first? Does He have preeminence in your life? He's first. Make no doubt about it. He is first. But in your life, is He first? You already know, I think, the answer to that. Verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. It's going to tell you what that mystery is. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, that teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works mightily, or works in me mightily. So he's saying that this isn't something that he just sprinkled fairy dust on you and you got it. This takes work. And that's part of Paul's job. He said, I've taken on this task that God has appointed me to do. It's why a pastor cares. It's why he cares. It's why he'll say the things that might be a little bit tough to hear. You think that the people that came out of bondage, Egyptian bondage, do you think that the people that began to worship other gods, it wasn't just that they began to worship other gods. You remember when they took the gold and they formed it into a calf, and they began to worship the calf because Moses was gone to get some commandments from God, and they even disrespected him. They said, "Where is this fellow Moses? He was only gone a day or two. Where's this fellow Moses? He's gone. Yeah, let's take all that gold and let's make something we can worship." Where did that gold come from? Where did that gold come from? They were slaves. These Israelites, they were slaves. They didn't have no gold. God blessed them to start a new economy whenever they came out. So that was God's blessing. That gold was God's blessing. And they took God's blessing, and in essence, they took His blessing, and they started worshiping His blessing. They formed it into a calf, and they started worshiping it. Is that not what it said? Do you see where I'm going with that? It is easy for God to bless me, and then for me to, in turn, take that blessing and start worshiping it. Let me tell you what worshiping is. Worshiping is whenever it's first and He's not. It's not like I'm just taking His blessing and bowing down before it, which is what they did. Or maybe it is taking his blessing. And now I'm bowing down to that because I certainly ain't bowing down to him here if I'm not here. Just, hey, I'm all about vacations. I just got off of one. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to get us prioritized back to say, is he first? I've got to be honest with myself. I would rather hear this hard stuff right now at this time in history where I need to know and you need to know if God is first or not. The scripture plainly says that if he's first, he is before all things and in him all things consist. The mystery of the kingdom is in him. In him, that's what it says. It just plainly said that the mystery of the Christ of the kingdom is Christ in you. We can go all the way through Ephesians and talk about how many times it says, in him. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him we are created to the praise of his glory. In him we have received forgiveness of sins. In him, in him, in him. So that's the mystery of the kingdom. So he's got us into a place where the choice will always be ours. Am I in line with him? Because he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The word consist means to hold together. It means it holds it together. Those of you that cook, it's like the eggs in what you're baking. You bake something. You make a meatloaf. You throw some eggs in there. Eggs hold it together. It gives it consistency. You take your batter. You throw some eggs in there because they hold it together. So he's like that. In him, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. All things hold together. So let me pose a question to you. If you got stuff in your life that's falling apart, that's not on him. I'm not talking about trials. I'm not talking about waking up with a backache. I'm not talking about I'm just going through a little something here. I'm talking about things that you know in your life. These are broken. I can hide it. I can come to church. I can praise and worship. I can act like everything's okay. But I know deep down inside of me something is broken. Is he first? He is before all things. In him, all things consist. In him, all things hold together. In him, things don't fall apart. So if it's falling apart, my suggestion to you is, he ain't first. He ain't first. Something else is first, and he will not be second. And he won't hold a close tie. I mean, it's all, God, I love you so much. I mean, it's a close tie. Yeah, I mean, you're right up there with my favorite things, God. Might as well stop worshiping him because you're already worshiping something at a very improper and dangerous level in your life. You better hear this preacher today. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. Nothing gets to place. It is human nature to worship the gift more than the giver of the gift. But understand this, the giver of the gift is so much greater than the gift itself. Don't ever get that wrong. If he can give me the gift, then he's certainly greater than the gift. But as soon as he gives me something, it's in my nature to want to be consumed with that thing and let him suffer. Let my relationship suffer. And here's the crazy thing about it. When things start going nuts in my life, usually my first question is, where are you? Where are you? Is he first? Is he first? Y'all are probably thinking, Pastor, you came off vacation. You need to settle down. I thought you'd be chilling a little bit by now. You turn this thing up. Verse 9 and 10, where he's talking about, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You know what one of the biggest questions is in the body of Christ? What's my purpose? I'm just trying to find my purpose. I want to find my purpose in God. Paul said, we're praying for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Because we all got a will. But we're supposed to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And he doubles down on it. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. We got this little false humility thing that we do. Oh, I'm just not worthy. I'm not even worthy to hold my hands up in front of him. Bless your heart. He says that you walk worthy. And it's not about you getting arrogant and puffed up. It's about you being strong enough to walk with him on Monday. And all week long. Realizing what he brought you from. I am not that anymore. I will not be that anymore. I refuse to go back to that place where I was away from God and I knew I was away from God. Now he lives inside of me. If he lives inside of you, his spirit lives inside of you, don't you think that inside of you something will be, a little alarm will be going off when you get near something that repels him? That's when you answer the question right there, if he's first or not. Right there. Right there. The knowledge of his will and all wisdom, filled with it, spiritual understanding, fully pleasing him, to walk worthy of him. That verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You want to fully please God? Walk worthy. Walk worthy. And he tells you how. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his power, his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Yeah, you're not worthy in the sense that you qualified yourself. He qualified you, but because he qualified you, don't act like you're not qualified. He qualified you. He's the one that says you're enough. Why? Because it's him inside of you, not you. I've heard it said so many times that God got Israel out of Egypt in a day, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. To get that old sin living, that old drawback, that anything that pulls you back. That's why Paul says, I'm working it. I'm working it for you. I'll do my part, but there's a part that you've got to do. There's a picture that he has that is fully pleasing him. It's increasing in the knowledge, being strengthened in him, and giving thanks and being fruitful. That's what he said. Fully pleasing him looks like this, being fruitful. increasing in the knowledge, being strengthened in him, giving thanks to him. Now, let me tell you about that scripture right there. Nothing about that looks pitiful on your part. It's going to be impossible for you to be a little anemic, pitiful Christian if you're pleasing him. Even in trials, you are walking through that. And I have to believe this, that there's a grace that comes to people to go through things that are hard. I've witnessed it for myself, and I've witnessed it in other people. I've seen people going through the trial of their lives, but they walk through it valiantly. And I don't think, wow, they're incredible. I think God lives inside of them. They're touching something I want to touch. They touched the hem of his garment. There's something alive inside of them. And it makes a difference. Why? Because it's producing fruit. I can tell the biggest difference when I walk past a fruit tree in the harvest time versus when I walk past a fruit tree in the winter. Everything looks different about it. Everything looks different. Leaves, warmth, fruit, cold, dead, empty. And he says there's a difference between. You know what the difference is? In the season, if a tree's dead, nothing ever comes out of it. It can be right there beside the one that's got fruit. Now, I'm not going to get into the thing where, yes, there's seasons that we go through. But even through that, that has to take place so that fruit can be produced inside of me. And he knows the difference even if you don't see it. Think about that. He knows the difference even if you don't see it. Even if nobody else sees it. You know if fruit's being produced inside of you. You know when those times are dead. You know what it is to feel buried, but you know that you're not buried. You're planted. It feels awfully the same. Cold, deep, wet, buried, but not really buried, planted. Something's happening inside of me. Something's happening inside of me. Is he first? Is he first? There's a commandment in Mark 12 where a scribe is one that kept things to the letter of the law. He was looking for mistakes in the law, and he was going to call you out on if there's anything wrong with what you said. And he noticed Jesus answering people, and he looked at what he said, and he said, he's answering pretty good. And he said, let me ask him a question. He asked Jesus, he said, what's the greatest command? Jesus said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. That's the greatest commandment. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. He got that from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll probably look at that next week. But I can tell you what was going on there. When it said, one, the Lord your God is one, that one is defined as this, a numeral having the power of an adjective, one. A number having the power of an adjective. So let me just define that for you so that you see what I'm talking about. A number having the power of an adjective. 10. Bo Derek. Do you get it? A number having the power of an adjective. Now, reach over, husband, to your wife and say, but you know you're 11, right? You know you're. That was a deal where everybody said, you know, this Bo Derek, she's the perfect woman. She's a 10. Somehow we came up with the power to rate you women, just so you know. We came up with that power. But that actually is a better picture of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one.
He's first. He's first. He is before all things. And in him, all things consist. Is he first? I'm going to close it with this. There's proof in that scripture. There's proof in that scripture when he's opening up epistles and he's closing epistles because they had seen Jesus. They had heard of Jesus. And they had heard Jesus' claims about Jesus and that he was the Son of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have much more to say about that, but I'll say this. The fact that grace is received, grace and peace is received both from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason for that. He's not just saying grace from God to you. He's saying grace from the Father and grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a testimony right there to the deity of Christ. That he's on this level. He is on the God level. So the God that you saw walking around here is Jesus Christ. And he has all power, just like he said that he. So the question is he first? Is he first? Is he first? If things are falling apart, you need to have him first in your life. So that they'll come back together. And he can bring things back into an order that it needs to be in. So that it doesn't fall again. So it doesn't fall apart again. There is just, we've got to push through and break through our tendencies to let him slip into a close second. It happens so easily. I mean, just he's just right there. I mean, I love him. I do. Y'all, I love him. I mean, is he first? Let me just tell you this. If he's first, you'll never have to convince me that he is first in your life. If he's first in your life, you will never have to convince one other person that he is. Because things will be producing out of you in every season and every way. Because he's first. Worship team, I want you to come back up. I have a lot more to go with this. A lot more to go with this. But the question is posed. Is he first? He is first. The scripture just proved that. In Paul's salutations, as he opened up the epistles, as he closed the epistles, he was saying, in essence, Jesus is Lord. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. God, the deity of Jesus, is supreme. He's first. He's saying that. He is first. So the answer is, yes, he is first, but is he first in your life? Because he's first. But is he first in your life? That's the question for you this morning. I believe that you're here because he is first. But I also believe that in the humanness that we all carry, in this shell of flesh that we live in, there's always going to be the draw to pull on our flesh and to lean towards his blessing
more than the one who blessed us. So that time of repentance is this, that we keep in repentance, keep with repentance, fruit being produced inside of us. So this morning, is he first? Is he before all things in your life? It's simply about priorities. Priorities. Is he my first priority? I can't answer that for you. I can answer that for me and only me. So I ask the worship team to come up and let's sing this song together.